Welcome to the Sad G Podcast. It's the G Experience, heading into 2024 with a new sense of purpose and life. Self-love, self-motivation, gratitude, and sending out love to the community. Just a few things I've learned through stoicism. Remember, folks, don't tell your friend things you don't want your enemy to know about. Today's episode is about Hannah Payne. I can watch court TV like all day. I've been watching a lot of it. I even went back and watched. So I was a big fan of Johnny Cochran, Effie Bailey. I even went back and watched some of that case recently. But I watch court TV all the time. Not necessarily the documentaries about the cases, but I'll be watching the actual trial that's going on. I saw another case of this guy called named Daryl Brooks, and he called himself representing himself in his case, where he took his car up in, I believe it was in Wisconsin, and he took his car at this parade, and he just started running over people, and he just called himself on to represent himself in court in his trial. No, he's not a professional lawyer. He don't know what he's doing up there. And people getting in, try to talk all this law stuff and don't even know what they're talking about. You're just so disruptive through the whole thing just to get found guilty in all these cases. People saw you do this. They have you on camera doing this. And you thought you can talk your way out of that? It just didn't work. He really gave the judge a really hard time. And he tried to control the courtroom. Now, of course, he got rights and things of that nature. But that was one of those cases I watched. The other guy, Murdaugh, I watched that case, watching it, what's going on with YSL, what's going on with YMW Melly, which is another case that's, I believe it was deadlocked, so they're about to retry him again. But this Hannah Payne case, it didn't get a lot of media attention, probably because of the pandemic in 2000. This incident happened in 2019. So when the pandemic happened, cases all across the country became a backlog. So the court system had to catch up on so many cases. And this is one of those cases they had to catch up on. So even when they, after the pandemic, there was a lot of delays when it comes to this case right here. But she ended up getting out on bond, and they put an ankle monitor on her. So she had been sitting around. Took about 4 years or so for this case to come to trial. And the family started complaining about this woman. At first they tried to, you know, make it look like a racial issue, and they had to go to the NAACP, but they were saying this white woman killed this black driver. And that could have been the case, but as the case went on, the prosecutors didn't make that an issue. They didn't raise that question. Was it racism? During the whole trial, they didn't do that with the jury selection. They just didn't make it an issue. They strictly made it about this woman shooting this guy. And when you look at the trial, there's really not a lot of people that's actually at the trial. Because one of the reasons, because it didn't get a lot of media attention. It sort of went under the radar in terms of the media. But it came out on YouTube and it started trending and started picking up on it, and people started noticing this case, and that's how I came across it. When you're on YouTube, you get notifications, you get suggestions for different videos, and this is one of those videos where I just started looking at it, and I found it very interesting. How you sit and think like, man, if you had a career choice, you had these different career choices, like being a lawyer would have been one of mine. I would love to be in the courtroom as a prosecutor or as a defense trial lawyer, either one. I would love to get in there and ask some of these questions and trip some of these people up in their testimony. And this is one of those situations where this woman ended up shooting this driver because of an accident that happened at another location. Now, this happened back in 2019 in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. And if you ever been to Atlanta, the traffic can get kind of crazy down there. There's so many people that converge onto Atlanta, so it's a big melting pot down there. You have all these people with these different driving styles. I went down there last year. I I saw three different accidents while I was there. I was on my way to a birthday party with my auntie. And on the way to this party, I saw three accidents just on the way there. And there's definitely so many accidents that happen down there. Again, you have all these different type of driving styles converging in one place. And in my opinion, this is what's causing all these accidents down there. It's got to be one of the top cities when it comes to traffic accidents. And a little bit of her background, she's a property manager, and at the time of this incident, she was 21 years old, and ironically, you must be 21 years old to purchase a gun in the state of Georgia. And when people get these guns, it makes them feel powerful. And some people literally sit around thinking about killing people and trying to figure out how can they beat the case. But again, you had to be 21 to purchase a gun. Ironically, when she turned 21, she went and ran and bought her a gun. And you have all these people being advocates about gun laws, but you know, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in bearing arms. I have arms myself. And, you know, there's a lot of training that goes into that. But you can change all these laws all you want to, because it's not the gun that's actually doing the killing the person. It's the person behind the trigger, the person who's holding the gun. That's who's responsible for this. And it's unfortunate, you know, you have so many mental health issues going out there, it's going untreated. So you may have somebody that's 21 years old and can go buy a gun, but it may not be noted that this person may have mental health issues. This person may not have been to the doctor. And people know they got different issues, you know. And you see how people get outrageous. They do mass shootings. They go to parties and schools. It was a case over across sea somewhere where this guy went on a rampage at this college. Another case over here in America. But there's different cases where you have these mass shootings where these people just click out and just be out of their mind. But I found it very interesting. And one of the things that interests me in watching these cases is the lawyers. I like to see the lawyers go back and forth with each other. It's not like they're real enemies. You know, it's like wrestling. We'll get up there and attack each other, but we shake their hands behind closed doors. It is what it is. It's like politicians. We can talk all this stuff about each other. And then, say for example, somebody could be running for, and I want to be clear here, I'm not a politician, I'm not into politics like that. And you may have these people that's running for office, they steady attacking each other, then the person that wins, that person turn around and hire the person they was going against in the race for this office. You know, so that's just how it is. It's just much like wrestling. But again, these gun laws, you can make these laws all you want to. It's not the laws, it's the person who's holding the gun. They're responsible. When people get these guns in their hand, they start feeling very powerful. But the case finally came to trial. And, of course, this woman wanted to make it look like she's just this all-American girl, just out there trying to help people. I'm out here to save the world. I'm just so helpful. But this woman seemed to have split personalities. She's like this, very nice and outgoing and very helpful when she's around her friend and family. And obviously she switched to another person who the prosecutor claimed this is the real Hannah Payne. And as the trial is going on, you look at all the evidence, it points that this woman just totally is out of character. She just took it upon herself to insert herself in this incident, which made it bigger than what it really was. It started from a traffic accident where this man, he actually ran a red light and he hit a pickup truck, a semi truck. And it was people on the scene. One guy that was on the scene, he works for a state, he's like a correction officer. But he works at a hospital where inmates are there, and he had to guard, make sure the doctors are safe when they're checking out these patients. And he noticed something that was similar to people that's in jail that had these shock things that goes on with them when it comes to being a diabetic. And this guy said he just started noticing that this guy is really having some type of medical episode, whereas Anna Payne just claimed he was drunk, but the guy never said that he was drunk. He said he looked like this guy may be having a diabetic episode, and that's just from him monitoring how people react when they have these issues with being a diabetic. I was just telling my son about that. When you eat all this sugar like that, you can become a diabetic. I have a buddy that has been dealing with being a diabetic for years. He seemed to have it under control right now. Back in the day, he would have these episodes. I never seen him have those episodes per se. I was just here. He in the hospital now. He in the hospital now dealing with this diabetic. So he seemed to be very controlled of being dealing with his diabetes. And the victim name was Kenneth Herring. He was a 62-year-old man who this woman shot and killed. And when he hit the semi-truck, the other guy who worked for the state, he just started, no, it seemed like this guy having some type of episode with his diabetes. And he may not have been in his right mind when he actually hit this semi-truck. So they sit out there for a while, waiting on the police, and the traffic is just hectic everywhere. It's accidents in different places. So it took a few minutes longer for the police to actually get there. So they sitting out there like 20 minutes, and when Mr. Harry hit this semi-truck, he damaged his vehicle pretty bad, was minimal damage to the actual semi-truck. And all kind of stuff was leaking out of his truck. Antifreeze, oil, and different type of things were leaking out of his truck, which led them to believe that this guy would not be able to start this truck. He's going to be stuck right there. But after sitting there so long, Mr. Herring walked around his truck, and he ends up taking off. But when the incident happened, the truck driver was out there. This woman, she witnessed the accident, so she pulls over. She's looking at the scene. And, you know, they just all standing out there watching what's happened. Then the guy who worked for the state, he ended up calling the police. But he the ones on the phone calling the police, trying to get him over to the scene. So Mr. Herring gets in his truck, he takes off. And many people, his family, believe he was trying to get to the hospital to deal with this diabetic episode, in which they found inside his truck he had these needles and things of that nature that people have needles when they're dealing with diabetics, because they had to give themselves injections. And this woman, she sees him ready to take off. So the guy that worked for the state, he trying to tell her to get a picture of the tags. He wanted to get a picture of the tags so he can report it to the police. And he was telling her quickly, go get the name of the tag. So he takes off. This woman takes off after him. She takes off after him, in which she tried to say in the trial that this guy told her to go chase behind him. But he came. They called him as a witness. He said, I never told her to chase behind him or to stop him and all the things that she did. You know, he thought he was just doing a good thing. He thought she was just going to get a picture of this tag, but which he got the tag number himself, so he had already reported to the police that he got the tag number. So the police really already got the tag. He described the vehicle and everything. He just stayed back with the guy with the semi-truck. But this woman, who was already sitting in her car, she takes off after this guy, and she calls 911. And on his dispatch, no dispatcher is going to advise a civilian to go chase after any suspect. They don't care what the situation is. That's just not a good thing to do. Not going to advise you to chase behind people. So they're on his dispatch. The dispatcher's telling her to stop chasing him. But she's like, no, I'm going to just get his license plate number. They were, okay, when you get the license plate number, go back to the scene. I want to remind the audience that she has nothing to do with any of this stuff. But he sent you there, get the picture and go back to the scene, and even though they already got the license plate number, but go back to the scene. And when you're dealing with dispatch, you're not talking to the same operator. So you got the guy who was there back there at the initial incident. He's talking to one operator, but Hannah Payne, Miss Payne, she's actually talking to a different dispatcher. So this second dispatcher, she may not have the license plate number, even though he already gave him the license plate number, but it's to a different dispatcher. So she chases behind him, get this license plate number. And they repeatedly told her on four different occasions to stop following this guy, don't follow him. And she just took it upon herself to follow this guy. Now, mindly, she's driving very irately, bobbing in and out of traffic, trying to catch up to this guy. In doing so, she almost ran other people off the road. She even caused an accident herself. But according to her, she just this helpful person, want to stop him, he's drunk. She want to stop him from causing more accidents when she's causing accidents herself. She's driving out of control herself. She just had to catch up with this guy. And when she catches up to this guy, man, this is in broad daylight, it's traffic everywhere, so you have witnesses seeing what happened. And when she caught up to him, she ended up cutting him off, and after she gave the license plate number, the dispatcher told her to stop following this guy. She skipped over that and followed him anyway and ended up cutting him off. And when she cut him off, she jumped out of her car very irately, very angry, very demanding, and she looks gangster, thugged out. It's the Said G podcast. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. I want to keep giving you guys good content. And please share it with a friend. But she cuts this guy off. She jumps out of her vehicle and goes over there irately, angry with this guy, making all these demands, get out the car, this and that. She started punching him. So when she approached him, he don't know who this person is. He just look up, it's a person, just cut him off. He just looking at this woman screaming. He don't know this woman at all. So he's like, who are you? And he's trying to figure out, who are you? You know, she's like, I'm nobody, this, that, and the third. And she started punching him. So he started defending this stuff. He started fighting back and forth with this woman. Now, mind you, his witnesses is seeing all this stuff unfold. There was one woman who was a witness in this trial. She was one of the people she almost ran off the road. And once she see him approaching this car, because she pulled her vehicle over, then she became interested in what was going on. And she seen her beating on, she thought what she thought was his window. And she noticed she was actually punching this guy. But this woman took it upon herself to chase behind this guy, jump out of the car irately, angry, and started punching on this guy. So he started defending herself. Then he tried to get away and incidentally bumped into her car. And then she pulls out a gun and actually shoots this guy. And after she shoots him, she's on a dispatch telling her that this guy shot himself with her gun. She automatically started reversing the story around. So a police officer got there. Imagine there's all witnesses around. There's other people calling 911 as well besides her. Now, these other people that's calling 911, their story is totally different than how she's telling her story. So when the police officer got there, he's like, who shot him? She's like, I did. She gave him a gun and everything. And she telling the officer, this is all on video now. When the officer, you know, they walk around the cameras and stuff, she tells him, I did. But she telling the dispatch that he shot himself. And when she tried to make it seem like it was self-defense when she got into this trial. And after she shoots this man, there's people upset that she actually shot this man. So she go through this thing with the witnesses who standing around. She tried to get them to go for her story. And they all like, no, we're not going for your story. We saw what happened, you know. And that's pretty much in a nutshell what happened in general. When they checked this car, it's very cluttered up. He had a bunch of stuff in there. In this vehicle, she claimed that he started threatening her. In her version of the story, she walked up and he snatched her in the car, started pulling on her, and ripped her shirt up, which is simply not true. And I want to play a little clip. When they got to the trial, and they started tripping her up in her own story, and she tried, it's just how she saw things, how she thought things went. But let's go to that little part. check out some of this pride. And you can hear her being caught up in her lie, how she thinks her interpretation is the right interpretation. Again, it's these people with these split personalities, and they feel like people should see things their way. It just don't work. Let's check this out.
Correct. So there should be no confusion that she told both of you to go back to that location. Well, if you keep it, it's not confusing, there's just more to the conversation. You said your interpretation was that she advised you that she advised you and the security to return to the incident location, correct?
Because that's what she says in the next line.
Okay, I'll let you know the entire response from dispatch.
From what the transcript reads is, you know,
from the beginning, okay.
Female caller to my direction. Okay, so if you could go back to that location where the incident happened, because someone is actually on the way to you guys now.
And Terry Robinson and Mr. Kimball were still at that location, correct?
That was two out of the four people.
Terry Robinson and Mr. Kimball were still at that location, correct? And after the third time, she's telling you to not continue to follow Mr. Herring and go back to the location.
Correct. That's when she told me to go back to the location the first time. She didn't say anything about not following.
All right. And so what is your response to the dispatch at that time? Can read the next paragraph.
That there's a police officer. Okay. Well, there is a police officer there, but he is drunk. I'm not. I'm sorry, but I'm here to tell you I'm not going to follow him because he's going to cause another accident. So stay behind him until an officer can get to us. But until then, I'm not moving.
So you are aware that dispatcher did not want you to continue to follow Mr. Herring, correct?
Sure.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
All right. If the dispatcher tells you after that, you know that's what I want. I want you guys to go back to the location where it happened and an officer would be out there momentarily. So that's a fourth time she's telling you again, don't follow and head back to the incident location, correct?
Incorrect.
Okay, so what am I missing?
She said, which in the transcript it reads differently than what you can hear on the call.
I'm talking about the transcript that's before you, Ms. Pat.
I'm just speaking from facts of what I know.
I'm asking you to hear.
She didn't allow me to
speak.
And that's a little clip from the trial. As you can see, she's getting caught up in her own lies and how she's trying to make people believe what she thinks, her own interpretation. And you can hear her actually choking up as she's reading her own transcript. And one of the things she said on there was, well, that's what the transcript said, but that's not how it sounds coming out this phone. And you can't dispute the transcript. Why would they go and transfer some stuff and switch some words around in your case? They're getting this stuff all day long. Like, it's trials going on all day, every day, in which dispatchers or the police dispatch, they have to give up these transcripts. So they don't have time to sit there and go through your stuff and take out stuff and add this and put this and that and stuff that's going on. But this is one of those cases where she just couldn't explain her way out of this. She thought if she can get up there and act like she this nice girl with her lawyer. She was answering all his questions perfectly. She had her story all laid out. She even tried to describe how he tried to get the gun and how he shot himself. It's just virtually impossible. If anything, he's trying to get that gun out of his face. He's not got time to be putting his own hand on. She grabbed that gun and she just turned around and shot. And there's a video out there right now. You all can go and find it on YouTube. It's called Hannah Payne, and you can see her actually shooting this guy. And you can hear in the 911 dispatch, because all this stuff is recorded, you can hear her screaming at this guy, screaming at Mr. Harry, making all these demands. And then you have all these witnesses in which her lawyer trying to get up there, you know, it's all about poking holes in the story because the state has the burden to prove their case, whereas the defense, they don't have it. They don't have to prove they're innocent or anything like that. They just got to prove your case is wrong. And it was just too much evidence for the woman to overcome. She had some of her people came and made statements, and they tried to make her seem like this very helpful, nice person. But obviously, this person has a whole nother side to her. But like I said, this is an interesting case. You all can go look at the whole trial on YouTube. And once she got up there and the defense started, well, the prosecutor, they started questioning this woman. She was very combative, very disrespectful. She claimed her tire was in his lane. Her vehicle wasn't. She claimed she walked with him nice and pleasant. Hey, I got 911 on the phone call. But this is another one of those cases where this woman got life in prison. So she got to do like 40-some years in prison plus another 10 years for killing this man with this weapon. This is CG Podcast. This is a very interesting case. And like I said, I invite you all to go back and check it out. Catch me on my next episode. One love.